Drum roll, please. You are listening to the Backstretch Podcast. I'm Zoe Cabin, joined by El Jefe, Jeff Siegel. It's been too long. Where have you been?
Well, it was Thanksgiving, so I was over in Maui, which is not normally...
Because who doesn't do that?
I mean, I do it every 4 years because that's where the Maui Classic is, and I do cover it for the LA Times. So I was there watching good basketball, doing not much else for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Came back for Thanksgiving, took the weekend off. Back, and even though it's kind of a downtime, it really isn't. You know, there a lot happened last weekend. A lot's going to happen this weekend. So even though December, it's like, you know, towards the tail end of the year, it's supposed to be sort of our off season. There is no off season. I mean, we just keep going and going and going. And when you think you got a light week, you look back and you figure that wasn't light at all. And then we got some really, really important races coming up this weekend on both coasts, which could have championship implications.
They most certainly could. Dumas meeting is over with record gains. We start Los Alamitos meeting on Friday. But let's talk about Del Mar. What went on there?
Well, I tell you, I don't know. I mean, everybody's, you know, kind of looking at the death of horse racing. I didn't see it at Del Mar. I'm talking about a handle climbing by 8.9%.
Wow.
The gamblers are still game, I can tell you that. They're sending it in. It was good racing. Now, it was supposed to be a 15-day meeting, but they lost a couple of days. So, but still, they handled well. The racing was very, very good. I'm enthusiastic. Now, we have Los Al coming up, as you mentioned, and then we start the circuit again. Oh, but already Gulfstream Parks, their championship meeting has started, so we can talk about that a little bit later on. Churchill's winding down with some critical races last week. And so it all adds up to the racing continues to flourish. I mean, as long as the gamblers are willing to wager on the races and support the sport, because that's where the money comes from, I think we're okay.
Well, this past weekend at Del Mar was a prime example where turf racing really in this country is starting to lead the way. It was the Turf Festival. And how lucky did Del Mar get with the cancellation of racing on Thursday, Thanksgiving, that they got a pretty nice weekend. And it made for some good prices with some horses who ordinarily don't love Del Mar being able to get their toe in the ground. Neck Shares was one of them.
Yeah, he won nicely. Kind of an upset there. But you're right. It wasn't the real rock-hard turf course that we're used to seeing, although Got Stormy certainly made it look that way, right?
She'll run on rocks if she has to. I mean, what an amazing filly she is. She's won 8 of 18, good for $1.43 million. And to be quite honest, if you're talking year-end honours, Got Stormy, Uni. Who's it going to be? Uni, 3 for 4 this year. Got Stormy, 4 for 8. They've both got 2 grade ones to their name this year. If I had to put you over a barrel right now, Siegel, where are you going?
Well, the definitive race was the Breeders' Cup Mile. And in that race, Uni beat Got Stormy. So that carries a lot of weight. I could look at Got Stormy's resume. She ran twice as many times as Uni did. She won more races. She beat the boys. She won the Woodbine Mile Grade 1, won the Matriarch Grade 1, won the 4-Star Dave against the boys Grade 1. That is hard to ignore. But what also is hard to ignore is that when they matched up in what should have and what is billed as Grade Championship
honors.
Day,
yeah.
Uni won the race, and I think that'll carry her through. The good news, though, I understand that Got Stormy is going to run again next year. She'll get a chance to
mount
one next year.
Yeah. To see all these older fillies and mares being kept in training. I keep thinking that Bellafina is about 6 years old. Seems like she's been around forever. We'll get to see her next year. And a lot of these fillies, where the colts go off to stud, the fillies are being kept in training, which gives them a bit of a following.
And Gary Barber, he likes to do that.
He's game.
He is game. He did it with the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint winner, the mare that he bought last year, or bought out, his partners. Got Stormy, of course, will race again next year. Because Gary, we used to be partners with him when we were with Team Valor, and he's a racehorse guy. And so, why not run him?
A win's a win for Gary. He doesn't care where it is. He's a guy who loves to win big races. All right, Mo Forza, let's talk about the Colts Hollywood Derby. What a win was this for Peter Miller, and how emotional was Peter talking about Barry Abrams being the owner of this horse, one of the owners?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah. But he got really emotional in the winner's circle talking about Barry, and this one's for you. Of course, Barry, health problems throughout the years, couldn't be on hand for it, but I was just delighted.
Yeah, Barry, an ex-trainer, trained Unusual Heat and back in the day.
Yeah.
He's had a lot of health issues. But Mo Forza, I mean, here's a horse, talk about a light switch going on. Finally broke his maiden in race start number six, then won the Twilight Derby at 18-1. And I went back and watched that race, and I did not think it was a fluke at all. I thought he was spectacular, not only in his maiden win, but in the Twilight Derby. Comes right back and wins the Hollywood Derby, a grade one event. His Byard numbers have gone from 83 to 86 to 86 again, then the 96 and the 99 in the Hollywood Derby for Peter Miller. He is now becoming a four-year-old. And that's a pretty big hurdle sometimes when the three-year-olds become four and all of a sudden they have to tackle older horses. Mo Forza running against older horses when he was running against maidens, but it's not the same thing when you're running in stakes. But now he's going to have to do what sometimes is not the easiest thing to do, and that's take his act and running against older horses. We saw what happened to River Boyne last year. Between his three- and four-year-old year, he was unbeatable as a three-year-old, and he couldn't win a race as a four. What do you think Mo Forza's future? Do you think he can continue to get better and act against the older horses, which, quite frankly, aren't all that tough right now?
Well, good point. Exactly. They're not that tough. And I think he's just got a little bit more to him than River Boyne. River Boyne, not an overly big son of, I believe he's by Dandy Man, European bred. Mm-hmm. And Mo Forza just seems to have a bit more of a force behind him. River Boyne, I think, was more of a two-year-old turning three-year-old, and he peaked in his three-year-old year. If you look at this horse's numbers, he's just getting better and better and better as time goes on. And I think next year is going to be his year. I think River Boyne was a very good late-developing two-year-old who led into his three-year-old year, and that's where he basically capped.
I wonder if Peter's thinking about Dubai for Mo Forza, because here's a colt that can run a mile.
Certainly not thinking of Oaklawn.
Well, no. We'll get to that down the road a little bit. But Mo Forza, an Uncle Mo colt who won at 9 furlongs, but, man, I think he could be a brilliant miler. So there's a lot of money to be won down the road there for Mo Forza, the winner, as the favorite in the Hollywood Derby, a premier race at Del Mar now, beating Neptune Storm, who ran well, and Standard Deviation, who came from out of the clouds to finish third. And that took care of the three-year-old turf division. But we saw we saw one terrific filly also on that same program. This is a filly by City Zip named Alms. Mike Stidham trains, and I don't know if people appreciate two-year-old turf fillies this time of the year, but she is really good.
I mean, you're talking undefeated. She's a perfect 3-for-3. She took down her maiden at Belmont. She won the matron at Belmont. She shipped all the way across the country and just showed the coolness that this filly has. Like, she's a good filly. She's not speed crazy. And she ran away and hid. I sent Mike Stidham a text to say, hey, you know, where's she going now? What's she doing? And like a true future Hall of Famer, I got the usual. We're going to give her a little bit of time and have a spring and summer campaign.
Well, so. I understand if you want to keep her on grass, that makes sense.
They're going to be at the fairgrounds.
Yeah. I mean, they could run her there, but they're not. It's so funny. It really kind of struck me when I saw a tweet from Godolphin. This is when you know you have a lot of good horses. When Godolphin tweets, congratulations to that promising young colt, we have Alms.
They don't
even know she's a filly. And that tells me that they've got so many, they can't keep track of them all. But that's a good problem to have,
right? It's a very nice problem. This is a homebred by City Zip out of the Empire Maker Mare Charity Bell that makes a half to Hayley Bell, who was actually a very nice filly in her own right. So we'll get to see Alms a little bit later on. All right, let's kick on and go to Gulfstream Park, where we saw the Hut Hut Stakes this weekend, giving Toneless, first season sire, his first stakes winner.
You know, this is a filly. Her name is Toneless Shape. We actually featured her in a black book after her first start at Gulfstream Park when she won. And she won, that was in September, a 5.5-furlong race. She was 19-1 that day. And I remember we were talking about maybe, you know, I asked you, I think, how's Toneless going to do? Are they going to be late developing, right? But I mean, you see them at the sales, and, you know, I was curious as to how they were being well-received, a classic-winning son of Tappet, a Belmont winner, And I thought, you said they'll take some time, but they'll be fine.
They will be fine.
Well, this filly is more than fine, because after she won that race, purchased privately by Slam Dunk Racing, given to Safi Joseph, she won.
That was a sharp purchase.
It sure certainly was. Maybe they watched my black book, or maybe they just are smart enough to do it on their own. That's probably the real reason. But anyway, she goes to Gulfstream Park West. She wins an overnight race there, going 6.5 on the main track, and then stretches out in a listed stakes called the Hut Hut, in which she was favored. But there were other horse fillies in there that had some run, and she won that race by 9 lengths. Her buyer numbers have gone from 71 to 78 to 89. She's just as fast as the best two-year-olds in the country right now based on buyer numbers, and she's already been a one-turn mile. What kind of future does Tonalist Shape have?
Bright. Whew. Very, very bright, and trained by a very bright young trainer. I think we're going to see a lot more graded stakes horses in Safi Joseph's care down there at Gulfstream Park. He's a very, very good horseman indeed, and Tonalist Shape, I think, is going to be definitely one of them. All right, let's move on and talk about the Frenchman, Patrick Abiancombe. Solo Volante took down the Pulpit Stakes, and what a wicked turn of foot from this two-year-old gelding. Shame he's a gelding, well, by Caraconte.
Might be why he's that good.
Maybe.
But I tell you what, they bought this horse for the proverbial ham sandwich at Ocala, just $20,000. Caraconte was a very good Japanese horse who actually won the Breeders' Cup mile here. I don't know if you got to see him or not.
I did. I was at Keeneland when he won.
But you didn't see him in the sale, though. That's what.
Oh, this horse?
Yeah.
I honestly couldn't tell you. I'm sure I did.
Yeah.
But I.
Well,
didn't.
I mean, I don't even know if he was a gelding in the sale or whether they gelded him after. But he won his first start at Gulfstream Park West again, 13-1. I hope Patrick cashed a ticket. Won very nicely. 74 buyer, not bad. Comes back at 13-1 again in what I thought was a fairly contentious edition of the Pulpit Stakes, which was a good two-year-old race on grass at Gulfstream Park, opening weekend there for the championship meeting. King Guillermo was all the rage in that race, having broken his maiden by a pole in his previous start. And Sol Volante went by that group like they were standing still. He runs a mile in 1:33 flat for a two-year-old. Just a second-time starter, earns an 89 buyer number.
On grass.
On grass, yeah. I mean, what are we looking at here? And I don't know, I don't think anybody would consider him to be any kind of derby horse being by Caraconte and that of him by King Mambo, but there's got to be some money for a three-year-old next year to win some important races on turf somewhere, right?
There's plenty of money for turf horses right now. I wouldn't surprise if Biancombe gave him a shot on the main track. Why not? You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain this time of year. Although I did take a good look at his pedigree. Mm-hmm. And if you look under the second dam, you're going to find an awful lot of turf champions. Ulysses is in there, Cloth of Stars, just under the second dam.
Yeah.
This is turf pedigree through and through, and bred by Flaxman's Holding Limited. So a very, very... good horse.
Sol Volante put him down because I think he's going to be. I think it's good for Patrick to finally get a really good horse, maybe potentially a really good horse for, good trainer. He's had his issues himself, but good, very good trainer.
And people must not forget he can train a racehorse.
He certainly can do that, and I'm sure he's thrilled with the prospects for Sol Volante.
All right, let's talk about Churchill Downs. Is it too early to talk about the road to the Kentucky Derby and the future pool?
It's
Mr.
never too
Siegel.
Early to talk Triple Crown. We do it when they break their maiden in May of their two-year-old season. How early is that? But the reason why you bring this up, and I think it's worth talking about, is that they completed the first future wagering pool, the Kentucky Derby future, all others, which always is the favorite at this time of the year.
6-5?
Actually, even money.
Okay.
But I was, you knew that was going to happen because you make a bet and you have to choose one of 22 listed horses. You can take the three-year-old fillies as a group, how's a three-year-old filly ever going to run in the Derby? They got no shot to do that, right? And then you have all others. You got the, like, for example, this time of the year, all others would have been maximum security. He was about as all other as you get. He hadn't even run yet.
Yeah.
You know? And, of course, he ended up winning the Derby, but then getting disqualified. So that's, I'm just saying is that when you look at this list, you're looking at two-year-olds that have done some racing and promise, obviously, early on. So who do you think was the actual favorite among the listed horses in the pool that closed on Sunday? This kind of surprised me a little bit.
I think probably Dennis's Moment is going to be right there, and I'm not sure too many people are really getting off Tis the Law.
Well, Tis the Law actually closed among those that were wagering at 11-1. So he was the number one individual horse. Dennis's moment was 12-1, 13-1 for Independence Hall and Maxfield. Surprisingly, the Breeders' Cup juvenile winner stormed the court. Nobody seems to believe him. he was 41-1 in the closing pool on Sunday. And I want to talk about that because we still have not determined, I don't think, a clear-cut champion in the two-year-old colt division. I mean, you know, you can look at Storm the Court and say, well, he you know, what's wrong with him? He won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, if you really think the Breeders' Cup Juvenile was a definitive race. But I don't know whether anybody really thinks he's all that. Personally,
I think he's going to be a much better three-year-old than he was a two-year-old.
Well, maybe. I mean, you might. I mean, I thought of all the horses that I saw run, up until the time that Dennis's moment went on his nose at the start and lost all chance in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. I thought the best two-year-old I saw was Independence Hall. Now, this is a colt by Constitution who broke his maiden by almost five lengths at Park's first time out for Michael Trombetta. Went to the Nashua Stakes at Aqueduct, was 9-1 because nobody trusts the Parks form.
Okay.
And he won that race by 12 lengths. He earned a 101 buyer number. He literally looked like Seattle Slough to me, for those who can go back that far and have that as a reference. He forced the pace. He kicked away and exploded in the final furlong like only a true, really, really good horse can. Now, he just worked at Fair Hill December 1st, just a couple of days ago, for Mike Trombetta. I imagine, I haven't checked this in the last couple of days, but I imagine he's headed to the Remsen, I think.
He's actually going to the Jerome now.
No, he's going to the Jerome.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So the last I read...
The Remsen is out. They don't think they want 8 weeks between starts now because of the massive number he ran. So he's going to the Jerome, which lands in
January sometime.
In January, which isn't going to help his case for two-year-old champ.
No. I thought... See, that's the thing is I would be tempted to run in... The Remsen, even though it's a mile and eighth.
But it's still not a grade one. You've got several with grade ones beside their name.
I understand, but there are no more grade ones you can run in.
I know that.
And I could certainly vote for a horse.
This weekend.
Yeah. Well, I could vote for a horse like Independence Hall if he were to win one more stake. But if you got a maiden and a grade three, the resume isn't strong enough. Even though in my heart of hearts, I think he's the best two-year-old.
Okay, so, I mean, it basically looks like, in my opinion, that it's going to be Storm the Court. However,
okay,
why can't we throw a turf horse in there?
You can.
Why can't we throw Structure in, who's a perfect three for three, and he also has that elusive grade one by his name, having taken down the grade one juvenile turf?
You can do that, and I think there are going to be a lot of voters who are going to say...
Because those would be the top two for me right now of this mass of PPs I'm looking at right now.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Maxfield didn't have a chance to build on his favorable impression when he actually did win a Breeders' Cup, a grade one. He won the Breeders' Futurity and then got hurt. Obviously, Dennis's moment had his chances go up in the flames with that terrible start. Yeah, I mean, it could happen that we vote a turf horse in for the first time. I want to talk about, what's going to happen coming up this week, and we'll talk about the Futurity and the Starlet. I also want to mention that Steve Asmussen has a pretty good two-year-old filly on his hands by the name of Finite. All she's done is run second in her first two starts. I can forgive her for that. And then she comes back and she wins a maiden at Kentucky Downs on grass, wins the Rags to Riches at Churchill Downs, and then wins the Goldenrod, running a time that was pretty much the same as what Silver Prospector earned when he won the Kentucky Jockey Club over that wet track. She's a filly by Munnings, gave some money for her at the Timonium sale, $200,000, which is a pretty good,
She's a homebred for Winchell, and Winchell still owns her.
Well, he probably bought her back then.
Yeah.
Okay, but that's what she went through the ring for. Her buyer numbers are in the low 80s, so she's good. She's not great, but she's good. And
but
in the meantime,
she's versatile. Yeah. I mean, if you look, 6 furlongs on the dirt, 6.5 on the turf, a mile and 16th in slop, she can do it all, Siegel.
I don't know how good she is, but she is versatile, and that's part of being good, is being versatile. So wanted to give a little bit of a shout out to Finite, and I'm sure Steve will put her away for the winter and bring her back and point for the Kentucky Oaks, which is always everybody's goal.
All right.
Do that.
All the right. final grade one for older horses on the season was the grade one Clark. And listening to Al Stahl, who won this with Tom's de Tat afterwards, he was talking about basically about everything that went into putting this horse in, because originally he thought about coming out here for the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, he did.
And then he was like, no, I don't want to do that. I'm going to go to the Clark. And he's saying how Mr. Hancock called him and was like, you finally made a good decision. And here you are with Tom's the Tat.
And he's going to be given the winter off. They'll bring him back in the summer, I guess, and then point for the Breeders' Cup, which will be at Keeneland this year, or next year. Very impressive win at 4-5, coming on the heels of his good win at Keeneland, which he accomplished over a wet track. But another horse that can obviously be very versatile. Numbers, he's got triple-digit buyers in each of his last six starts. 9 out of 16, relatively lightly raced for a six-year-old. He's a good horse.
Is it a surprise to you that they're going to put him away and not go for the money?
Yes. I know I'd be going for the money.
At this time?
Here's what you have. You have the Pegasus World Cup. Then you have the Saudi Arabia, which is, what, $20 million?
Yeah,
like?
Then you go to
and
Dubai.
Then you got to Dubai. I mean, I'm not sure I'd be passing that up, given the state of the older handicap division this year and given his form. Let's face it, he ran seven times, but he took the last part of the year off. He only had a couple of runs, so... Why wouldn't you do that?
I don't know. That was, by the way, Mr. Benson, the late Mr. Benson's first grade one, now taken over by his wife, Mrs. Benson, who owns the New Orleans Saints.
Right.
But I don't know. He does run on Lasix over here, so maybe that has something to do with not doing that. But you can still go to Gulfstream Park and run in the Pegasus.
Right.
I don't know.
I don't get it. I don't know.
He doesn't need the money.
I guess. By the way, there's another horse that's kind of performing in anonymity. But he's really good.
I like the pun.
His name is Performer.
And,
right. Performer, in case you don't know who he is, he was given a run in his two-year-old debut last November. He finished third, then something happened to him. Put away and came back in June, won a maiden race at Belmont for Shug McGahey. Won an all-winners race other than, which is what you normally would do. Comes back and wins that. Instead of running in a stakes race, which I thought they were going to run him maybe, you know, for three-year-olds, they stretch him out to a mile and 1/16, again, a two other than against older horses. He wins that. And then he goes back against three-year-olds only in the Discovery and beats a pretty darn good horse in Tax, who was 9 lengths clear of the third horse. Performer running the mile and 1/8 and earning a 102 buyer number. He's never taken a backward move. He's by Spitestown, out of mare by AP&D, the good mare protesting for Shug. Could he not be the fresh face in the older division next year that we're looking for?
The heir apparent, most definitely. And this is a horse they've always been very, very high on him. I mean, if you look all the way back to his first start at Aqueduct, he was favored on his debut for a trainer who ordinarily doesn't win first time out. He's been favored in every start apart from his last, in which Tax was favored. So Performer, most definitely heir apparent next year.
He was another horse we featured in the Black Book after his maiden win back in November. He never ran back for 7 months. I had to save the Black Book for 7 months. said, this is a colt I've been waiting. I thought he was going to be a major, major three-year-old in the winter at Gulfstream Park. And something happened to him. Wrong winter, right. So anyway, so Performer, one to follow for sure. And there was some really good racing last week. We've covered most of it, but there's some really good racing coming up this week as well.
Cigar Mile, one more grade one, excuse me, where we get to see Maximum Security as well. Dun, dun. When does this ever happen? The horse that won or didn't win the Kentucky Derby is going to run against the winner of the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile
I have been saying all along that if after Maximum Security won the Haskell and then he came back, missed the Breeders' Cup, maybe by design or maybe there really was something. I don't know. But anyway, he shows up and wins the Bold Ruler, beating older horses, runs 7/8 and 120 and 3, and earns a 106 buyer number, a career top number. I said at that time that if he were to come back and win the Cigar Mile against older horses, he probably should be and will be the champion three-year-old. Do you agree with that?
I do.
Okay. But what happens if he gets beat by Spun to Run? What's wrong with his resume as a three-year-old? If he were to win the Cigar Mile, he will have won back-to-back grade ones. He will have won the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. Give him credit for showing up and winning that. He comes back out of that race and beats Maximum Security, if in fact he does. in the Cigar Mile. Prior to that, he'd also won a Grade 3 at Parks and the Smarty Jones.
But is that still better than Honor Code? Code of Honor.
Code of Honor.
Code of Honor.
Code of Honor, yeah. Is he? Not, maybe not. But I'm just saying is he's going to get votes. He's got to be in the top four if he does that anyway.
Sure.
Anyway, this is a rather significant race with an Eclipse Award potentially on the line. And by the way, for those of you who think, like I do, that maximum security is close to being a cinch, please be advised that maximum security's career top buyer number of 106 in the Bold Ruler was accomplished in his last race. How about Spunder Run? His last two buyer numbers were both better. Both of them.
Yeah.
His 110 in the race at Parks, and then he comes back and he earns a 109 in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. So maximum security, believe it or not, is no cinch in this race. He's running against a very good horse.
Do you think the draw is going to be important? They've both got speed.
I think it's probably going to be more important for Spunder Run. I think Spunder Run, and I think that the trainer said this, that you got to let him roll, okay? He doesn't want to be rated or rated back. I think maximum security can actually stalk.
He can rate. Know? And there's eight right. others probably going to go
yeah.
forward
no,
in there
Oh, yeah. No, it's not just a two-horse race. Anyway, that's a really good race coming up this Saturday at Aqueduct. It is called the Cigar Mile with a potential Eclipse Award on the line in the three-year-old division. A
couple of grade ones here at Los Alamitos this weekend. The grade one Starlet and the grade one Futurity.
See, now I've got a bone to pick on that because that's what I thought.
Oh, they're grade twos now?
No. One of them is. For some reason, and I don't know who the geniuses are who did this, but for some reason, the Los Alamitos Futurity, which used to be a grade one, is now a grade two. It's a grade two.
But the Starlet's still a grade one?
Yes. Now, let's not forget that the Los Al Futurity used to be one at Hollywood Park called the Cash Cow Futurity.
Correct.
Okay. Here are some of the winners of the Cash Cow Futurity over the years. Tell me if you ever heard of these horses, okay? How about Preakness winner Snow Chief or AP Indy? You've heard of him.
But it's what have you done for me lately with
but,
the greatest
okay,
stakes
fair
commission.
Enough. Point Given won this race. Real Quiet won this
years
race.
Ago.
I understand. Into Mischief, Pioneer of the Nile. These
Give
are good
me the last 10 years.
Shared, all right, 2013, Shared Belief. He's not bad. How many grade one winners are better than he was, okay? Mastery was undefeated and got hurt.
I'll give you that.
Okay.
Yeah.
McKinsey, what's wrong with him?
He's okay.
Okay. Probable, okay. But let me tell you something. Match this up with some of the other grade one races for two-year-olds and tell me the Los Al Futurity isn't at least as good, if not better. And this year, it is not a grade one. Now, it's still going to be a really good race, I think. I don't know if it's going to determine a championship, but it's still a very good race. And you've got the second and third place finishers in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile supposed to run. That's Anou D'Or, that's Blaine Wright's colt who ran second. And then finishing third, Wrecking Crew. He's going to be running for Peter Miller. I think Honor AP is supposed to run as well. Now, how good could he be?
He could be exceptional. He really could. He just broke his maiden by five at Santa Anita. John Sheriff's been on fire of late.
How good do you think Thousand Words is? This is a colt that cost $1 million as a yearling, a colt by Pioneer of the Nile, trained by Bob Baffert, 88 bar number winning sprinting first time out. He's supposed to be in the race as well. This is a faulty race.
He's a very, very good colt. I will say one thing about him. He got rather worked up when he ran running out of his own stall here at Santa Anita.
Right.
Now he's got a ship. I know it's just down the road to Los Alamitos.
You think they'll ship him early in a couple of days or not?
I don't know. Okay. But that's an interesting point. Just watch him. He got a little bit rattled. He has come back and worked very, very well here at Santa Anita. We'll see Eight Rings, who, of course, was syndicated right before the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Mm. Very smart work there, where he ran a very dull sixth beat.
I'm not sure how good he really is. He's good, but I don't think he's. I think maybe.
We'll find out.
I think maybe his best might be behind him.
But he's a grade one winner.
He's got a chance to prove me wrong. What about the Starlet? Now that is a grade one race. Donna Veloci comes back.
I'm really intrigued to see her because she ran pretty much and a very, very deep, tiring track. First time round, two turns, and I thought she ran like a true, true champ. She really ran her heart out to be beaten a neck by British Idiom. I think she's going to appreciate a tighter track at Los Al. She's been training over there. Simon Callahan has moved his whole stable to Los Al. He's got 30 stalls over there now. He's on the back of Jerry Hollendorfer. So she's been training over there, and she's doing very, very well indeed. Of course, she'll have to face Gingham, who just broke her maiden on the 31st of October, and Bast, who was third in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies.
If Donna Veloci is as good as I think she is, and I thought she was good enough to win the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, even though British Idiom was very good and proved to be the winner, but with that one, just that one sprint under her belt and stretching out on that very deep track, I thought she performed admirably. So that's to look forward to this weekend, the two big races for two-year-olds at Los Alamitos. A couple of quick notes. You mentioned Jerry Hollendorfer. Apparently, he's going to go to Oaklawn.
He's going to take his whole stable there. I think he's still going to leave a small division at Los Alamitos to train over there, and will be shipping backwards and forwards. Shug McGahey, who's not had horses at Oaklawn since the
35 years.
mid to late 80s, yeah, is going to send 15 there. I mean, the purses are astronomical.
Purses are incredible.
95,000 for allowance
money
races.
Money speaks. You know.
Peter Miller's going to have horses there. He had horses there last year. Mark Lapp, for the first time, is going there.
Sure.
Doug O'Neill basically inferred that he has nominated 17 two stakes races in Dubai.
Right.
Now, he had horses at Oaklawn Park last year as well. Right. So there's still going to be horses left here, but a lot of these guys are dividing up their strings and sending them to Oaklawn Park.
And what does that do to our, you know, our offerings here? We've got a lot of races here we need to fill.
We've
here.
We've got a lot of races,
you know,
here,
and
there's going to be
know.
A few people shipping in here to Santa Anita.
I hope so.
And, you know, we've got new safety protocols in place, and it's got to be onward and upward, Siegel.
Has to be. Well, we will see what happens down the road. Hopefully, we'll have a safe meeting. I hope the track's a little tighter than it was during the fall meeting. Based on the workout times that I've looked at, it seems like it's tightening up, or they're making it a little tighter, because it's okay to be safe. We want it to be safe, but sometimes you can overdo it, and I thought maybe the fall meeting, it was a little bit too deep for a lot of horses to get a grip on. So we will monitor that situation. We'll monitor this weekend's racing, great racing, as we get closer to the new year. And, of course, with Gulfstream Park and their championship meeting starting, and with December 26th close by, there's still plenty to talk about. And we will do that every week.
We will. I actually can't wait for the Claiming Crown coming up.
That's right. That is coming up this weekend. And also the... what is that called now? The South
Caribbean Classic?
Caribbean Classic, yeah.
Something like
that.
Yeah, anyway.
I don't know. I'll look at that.
We'll figure out the pronunciation next week when we have to talk about it.
It's big in Central America.
It certainly
that.
Is.
All right.
Jeff Siegel, I'm Zoe Cabman, and that was Doodle you heard in the background. Thanks so much for listening.